Good afternoon. Thank you very much for being here to learn today. It's Hey Elul, the 5th of Elul, Tufshin Pei Gimel, August 22nd, 2023. Today we are learning about Bitachon and Yiras Shamayim, and it should be a Zechus for Refua Shalema, for a dear friend Chaim David Ephraim Ben Chana, and also Avraham Chizkiyahu Ben Bluma. It should be Shalom for Klal Yisrael. And we know that I left you on a cliffhanger last time, but I'm going to make the cliff hang for a little bit longer because it occurred to me that there's a word I want to say before I start talking. And we know that we're learning about David HaMelech's travails and his sufferings at the hands of Shaul. And it just flashed into my mind that at the end of all this, what happened? At the very end, what happened? The end of Shmuel Beis, we find that it says, Vayedaber David LaHashem, Estivrei HaShira Hazos, that David said one of the Shiros, he spoke the words of the following song, or poetic expression, Yom Hitzil HaShem Oso, on the day that HaShem had saved him, Mikaf Ko Oyvav, from the palm, from the grips of all of his enemies, Mikaf Shaul, and from also from the pursuit and from the hands of Shaul. I thought to myself, this is a beautiful song that David sang. Finally, at the end, when the smoke cleared, he was able to express his thanks to Hashem, his gratitude in poetic expression. The Mayam Loewe's comments that after David completed all of his wars, including the one we've been talking about for many weeks, which the Chafetz Chaim uses as a prototype for Bitachon, this was Besof Yomav. I'm reading to you what it says, the simple pshat, the Mayam Loewe's explains it was the end of David's life. Amar Divrei HaShira Hazos, he said the words of this song, to give praise and thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of his salvations, his deliverances. That is why, asserts the Mayam Loewe's, this song, this poem, was established right here, at the end of all of his wars. But then the Mayam Loewe drops a bombshell. It's in Abar Benel that he quotes, V'yesh Omrim, but there are those who say, Sha'amar Shira Zeh, that David said this song, Be'es Bacharuso, at the time of his youth when he was much younger. Now wait a minute, hold on. When I saw that, I said, stop. How could that be? First of all, the Pasuk says, it says, on the day that Hashem saved him from all of his enemies. All of his enemies. Isn't that at the very end? And from Shaul, isn't that at the very end? No, it does not have to be. It was, according to the Abar Benel, and I'll show it to you in the Pasuk, Bihiyoso Sharoi Besoch Tsarosav, when he was actually in the thick of the problems, of the challenges, of the paradox, of all the quandaries, the dilemmas, the wars, the struggles. It's when he was in that situation. That is when he sang this song. But how could that work? And at every single time that Hashem would save him, he would say this song. And there's a reason he did it. There's a reason that he said this song every single time. The reason he said it every single time is because in Kain Hoysa Shigura Bethiv, it was customary in his mouth to say it. And the reason he said it every time is because he was saved time and time again. He kept being rescued. Bezehu Shenemar. And this is what was said. Vayedaber David LaShem Estivrei HaShira Hazos. And David said, he spoke to Hashem the words of this song, B'yom Hitzil Hashem Oso Mikaf Kol Oyevav. On the day that Hashem delivered him from the hands of all of his enemies, Mikaf Shaul, what do you mean? It means that each time he was saved, each time he experienced a deliverance, he would sing to Hashem. He didn't wait until the end. I was absolutely flabbergasted by this chat of the Abar Benel. And it applies to Shaul also. B'shagam bizman shahoya nitzal mikaf Shaul, when he was saved from Shaul, haya omer divrei Ashira. And it was time and time again. He was saved, first he was pursued. Then he was saved, and he was pursued again. And he was saved again and pursued. He kept being surrounded and threatened, and he was always saved. But he would sing to Hashem every time. He didn't wait till it was over. The tendency is to say, Ribono shel Olam, l'keshepana eshne. When I'll be free from all my sorrows, I'll learn. Then I'll sit down and learn. Then I'll sit down. I'll praise you. I'll concentrate on davening. I'll say psuke de zimra carefully. Then I'll have kavana. But we know that Chazal say, Shema lo sipane. First of all, don't say that. Al tomar b'kishapane eshne. Don't say that when I'm free. Don't say that when I have relief. That is when I'll learn. Or I saw a great pshat eshne. I'll change. I'll change for the better. I'll concentrate on my spiritual growth and development and maturation. Don't say that, it says in the Mishnah and Avos. Shema lo sipane. Because maybe this is what is set out for you, that you'll have challenges. And you will overcome them, and Hashem will help you through them. Maybe that's what's supposed to be happening. So if I halt and say, oh, this pshat of the Abarbanel, when did David speak these words of thanksgiving, of gratitude? B'yom hitzia Hashem oso, on the day that Hashem rescued him, mikaf kol oyavava, not when it was cumulatively all over, all his challenges were over finally. No, each time he made it through. And we have to admit that Hashem does see us through, and we do have relief. Sometimes now it's upgraded, the challenge. Sometimes then we have another one that comes. But the one before, I need to sing out to Hashem for it. We learned early on in the Vod, not this past May, but the May before that one, over a year ago, that the Gemara Erechin says there has to be song, not just praise. We have to actually sing to Hashem, like in the Beis HaMikdash, every single day. On the Duchen, we know the Levim, not only vocals, but instrumentalists, besides the vocalists, the Meshorim. There were instruments playing. Yes, you're thinking, what, Shabbos and Yontif, Yom Kippur? Yes, we know that. It was every single day of the year while the Karbanos were being brought, like we learned in Parshas Naso, La'avod avodas avoda. Sounds a little superfluous, doesn't it? La'avod avodas avoda. That's what the Pasuk says in Parshas Naso, to serve a service of a service. What is that? It's the song. It is a service to another service. The basic service we have to do is Karbanos. Self-sacrifice, animal offerings that represent ourselves in certain ways, but accompanying the daily dedication and devotion to Avodas Hashem, there's Lavod Avodas Avoda. It's not just what we do, but how we do it. It's the emotions that accompany the intellectual pursuits and the bodily pursuits of the mitzvot, and the verbal activity of learning and teaching Torah and davening. There is the simcha component, that piece that is absolutely crucial. It has to be there. And that is what the Me'am Lois is bringing from the Abarbanel. That David praised Hashem, sang out in gratitude each time he was saved. He didn't wait till it was all over, till someday, I will be able to do it. He didn't do that. He did it each time. It reminds me of a story that happened, because I sometimes feel that I don't have this totally, and I'm inspired by this Abarbanel to try to constantly reinstate it in my life for the reason that the Abarbanel explains to us. We have to constantly acknowledge that Hashem is saving us. And one of the car stories that I have, and I decided to write a list of the vehicles that Hashem has granted me, Baruch Hashem, over the years since I was driving, and I just want to run it through for a second. It's a little interesting. These cars were either given as presents or were purchased used, one or two are actually new, different circumstances. We all should be very grateful for our vehicles that Hashem gives us to drive around. I started out with a 75 Pontiac that my parents, Zichron Bracha, they gave me. I have stories for each one. The other day it occurred to me, maybe I'm going to write a pamphlet. It's just the car experiences, the automobile adventures that Hashem has saved me. I look in retrospect at the bitachon that I should have had more even, but I can have all the time. We can always have about driving out there and Hashem always protecting us. 75 Pontiac, it was a brown one. I had an 82 Chevy van that was white. An 88 Toyota Corolla FX, that was red. We had a 91 Ford Taurus, that was white. A 96 Chevy van, which was aqua. A 2004 Toyota van, which was gold. A 2019 Chevy Cruze, which is red. And he's saying, well, what am I going through a list of vehicles for? I look back, I say, Ribono Shel Olam, Bal Yayin Hara, you've given me 7 vehicles over my life. And I'm not going to say Kane Yerbu, because that might mean, you know, you understand about cars. Well, anyway, with the most recent one, there was something wrong. The rear right light assembly, which is a very heavy plastic, and it houses the brake light and the reverse light and the turn signal. You know, it's that red thing that's attached. In this car, it's attached to the trunk. So in order to access it, we need to open the trunk and remove a cover, and then whatever work has to be done. Well, very soon after we had bought it, I noticed that it was very loose. Whenever you would close the trunk, it rattled. It actually shook. So I took it to one place that I've been going for many years. And in the beginning, I was anxious about it. And I finally said, stop. Stop being anxious. Just because you bought it recently and there's something wrong with it and that's discouraging to you or that's disappointing, just clear my mind. And I remember where I was standing. And I said, stop everything for 10 seconds, maybe 30 seconds. I actually pushed it to 60. Clear my mind of all thoughts and just have bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. He's going to take care of everything. Sat down, called a mechanic shop that usually I'm not able to get through to, but I've been using many years. And I was given immediate service. And they said, oh, yeah, we won't have to put you on a waiting list. Just come right in. So I come in there, and I said to myself, look, when I calm down and have to be tachon, so then Hashem sends the Yeshua. Even a very average, normal person, try this at home. Stop everything, have be tachon. Don't think about anything for a minute except that Hashem can take care of everything. So I arrive, and my friend Joe says, oh, hey, how you doing? Sure. First, his supervisor looked at me strangely, like, how do you drop in with something like this if we have tons of cars waiting to be serviced? And I said to the supervisor, Joe said I could come right in. He looks at Joe, and Joe says to me, pull it right out. Okay, so he deferred to Joe. That's a Shliach Hashem. I pull it around, and he looks at it, and he looks me in the face. He says, it's very loose, and he says to me in the sweetest, calmest, most sincere tone, because he's a wonderful, beautiful human being, and I've dealt with him for many, many years. He says to me, you're missing something. And then he says, it's a bolt that's in there. But I said to myself, he told me I'm missing something. That's not an accident. Because I said, I was missing bitachon. I didn't have quite enough bitachon. I need to reinstate, and I need to firm up this bitachon. And then, of course, he went ahead and he fixed it. But I said to myself, it goes deeper than this. There's one screw or a bolt that's holding on an entire light assembly. The Bali Musar say that is what is about Torah together with Yiras Shamayim, Torah with Midos. We can have a lot of Torah. We can learn many hours. We can learn many Masechtos, lots of Chumash, lots of Mishnah. But maybe I'm missing something that's holding it firm. That it could be a Dover HaMiskayim, something that's lasting. It could be that bolt that's attaching it to myself, to my essence. That bolt could be my Midos. That's the screw that holds it in. It's the bolt that holds it together. It's Yiras Shamayim. It's the Midos. Yes, Torah has everything in there that we need, Musar, Yiras Shamayim, but sometimes we have to center our attention on a Midah, like Bitachon. And without that, the hardware falls apart. So we need this little piece of hardware, which is so firming. It's so bolting. It's a link. It's the Midos we have to work on. And I said to myself, Joe gave me a great message. I was missing something. I had too much anxiety. It's not just the bolt. Now, by the way, the bolt story is a saga. A happy one, because it has, Baruch Hashem, come to its conclusion, and that light assembly is very tight now. I doubt it's ever going to move, but there were two more parts to that story. But we're going to leave you in suspense because of the 7 vehicles that I told you about before. I'm planning to start a mini-series as part of our half-hour Bitachon learning each week, maybe a few minutes here and there, where I'll tell you something about each car where I see in retrospect that Bitachon was totally in order, and that our Hashem is constantly watching over us every second. And we're going to start with that 1975 Pontiac. Hopefully it's billionaire. I'm keeping the paper around. So something to look forward to. And one more word of introduction before we finish up last week's cliffhanger. The Chazal told us, it's a Medrash Tehillim, the Me'am always quotes it, Lo call me Shehu Rotze Lo Marshira Omer. And it's finishing up this introduction from the Me'am Loes in Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf Beis, in the Me'am Loes. And it's a Medrash Tehillim says, not just anybody who wants to say musical poetry to Hashem and show that type of gratitude is really able to do so. We're not necessarily equipped in every single situation. Ella, rather, call me Shenasalones, anyone for whom a miracle was done. The Omer Shira, and about that specific miracle, he has been saved. He says song to Hashem. He praises Hashem and thanks Hashem. When we have to know that that person they've forgiven for all his averos, the nasa bria chadasha, the person becomes like a new creation. What is transpiring here? What's going on in this medrash? You can base it on their barbino. We said before, instead of saying I will wait till everything is fine, I'll wait till all the smoke clears and everything's perfect, then I'll praise Hashem. Then I'll concentrate on my learning and my nidos. No, no, no. I stop and I say, this ordeal, this challenge, Hashem, you've seen me through it. I thank you for that. Thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, for doing that for me. I appreciate it so much. It could even be the weather. Some people love it when it's hot or when it's cold. We walk outside. Ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tati, thank you so much for making such a beautiful, pleasant day that I enjoy this weather. This promotes my Avodas Hashem. And then there's the bigger, what we perceive as the bigger miracles. We're not even always sure what's bigger and smaller. But if we say Shira, we really sing out to Hashem. We have Modim. I always remind myself, there's a part of Shemoneh Esrei, I don't think it gets enough attention. It's Modim. That's thanks so much for everything. And it delineates. And it enumerates every single thing, every type of miracle. What happens when we do that is mochelen lo kol avonosav. Wow, that's worthwhile. But it must be something, it must be a feat of accomplishment that just because I had a miracle done, which could be my body functioning, it could be a refuah from one or another, let's say, health challenges that I went through. It could be parnas challenge that I went through. It could be a relationship challenge that Hashem helped me through, whatever that is, I say Shira for that single experience, I have Mechila for all my Averos. Mochlan lo kol avonosav. We know the Chazal speak in very, I don't want to say chas v'shalom, exaggerated terms, but they speak very strongly. And sometimes Chazal say it's like a guzma, maybe it's just to bring the point forth, the word guzma means exaggeration. But it doesn't say necessarily that's the case here, because if I can muster the emotional and spiritual and intellectual strength to acknowledge that every challenge I come through by itself is a miracle, and on that I sing out to Hashem, Atalka actually deserves to be forgiven from my averos, but look further, v'nasa bria chadasha, I become a new creation because of that. So David HaMelech, each time he was saved, according to this Avar Benel, not when everything was finished, not the sum total of deliverance, but each deliverance, each rescue, each salvation, he thanked Hashem, he becomes a new creation. A new person every single time. It's worth it. So all I need to do is reflect on every single one of these nisim that Hashem does for me. And that is enough of a reason to sing out to Hashem with Shira, the way that David HaMelech did. And this is the pshat of the Abarbanel, who is quoted by the Me'am Loes in Shmuel Beis, Perichov Beis, right in the Pasuk Aleph. And now back to the end of last week. So it works very well with what we just learned, because David has now been saved from a critical, acute crisis. And that was the city of Tziklag being burned to the ground. And I left you with a question last time. When it talks about David and his men, who were very heilige people, they were very holy on a very high level, very clearly from the psukim, it doesn't say that the people were totally bitter about the wives. who were missing. It was about the sons and daughters. But why? The Me'am Lois brings from a pshat. Ikar hatzar hoya al habanim v'habanot. The main anguish that they were suffering was about the sons and daughters when David came back and saw this calamity that they had been led away in captivity. Why was it about the sons and the daughters? Shem kitanim, because they're young, they're little. Ve'em bohem das limsor atzmam al kedushas Hashem. What on earth is going on here? The men were mourning about the children, because what are they thinking? It's not that the children disappeared so much. It's more like, oh no, they were led away, and everybody knows the Plishtim, they were our arch enemy, and they would force people to do idolatry, avodah zarah, who knows, immorality. We see evidence from it in Tanakh later with Shaul. Shaul was concerned that would happen. The sons and daughters, the men thought to themselves, they won't have the fortitude, they won't have the courage to be Moshe Nefesh, to allow themselves to be killed rather than doing what types of averus they might be forced to do. That is the Mara. That says Mara. They were the Marus, the bitterness that the men were feeling was because they're thinking, first of all, number one, they're thinking the worst, first of all, about the children, that they're going to be forced to do averos. But the sorrow of the men is that the children will succumb to that pressure and they'll do those averos. And they won't allow themselves to be killed because they're not sophisticated old enough to do that, to allow themselves to be killed. Lo kein hanashim. They're not as bitter about the wives. You know why they're not as bitter about the wives? Shohoya muftach lahem. Because the husbands were sure. Sheyim seru nafsham al kedushas Hashem. Can we absorb this and digest it? They're not so embittered about the wives because they made a calculation in their minds. The men said to themselves, the wives are gone, the sons are gone, the daughters are gone. The sons and the daughters, they're young. So if they're forced to do Avodah Zarah, they'll do it and they won't die. That's why they're bitter. Mara nefesh kol ha'am, ish al banav uvenoso, because they're going to do Avodah Zarah perhaps. They'll be forced to do Avodah Zarah, chas v'shalom. But the wives, it doesn't say that they were embittered about them because they were positive. At least they had peace of mind that the wives would be willing to die rather than do an avera like avodah zarah or immorality. Now, what do you think about that? First of all, what do we get out of this? Definitely, they're anticipating the worst outcome, which is that the women, they're thinking, are yimsru nafsham. The women are dead, chas v'shalom. Because if they were going to be forced, inevitably, to do terrible things, then they would rather let themselves be killed. The children, on the other hand, they're not going to be Moshe Nefesh. So that causes bitterness in their minds because they're alive, but spiritually they're going to be harmed. So number one conclusion, or what we extract from this, is the amazing level of these men, that they're thinking the spiritual part of it. Number two, though, they absolutely have concluded, or at least close to concluded, that the worst outcome has happened. But by the way, I keep mentioning I keep mentioning Plishtim led them away. They assume that the Plishtim are the ones who led away these captives. We already learned later it's the Amalekim who led them away. Perhaps that's why they were unharmed. We don't know if the Plishtim, Amalekim were worse when it came to treating prisoners of war or captives, without getting into the whole historical part of it. But the point is, it wasn't even Plishtim. It was Amalekim, and David was able to get all of the captives back, as we know. So what I got out of this is we see something, we see circumstances, we see what's going on in front of us, and then the Yetzer Hara says, oh, it's the worst. It's the worst that happened. But that's not true. It could be the best that happened. It could be the best. I don't see right now. As the Chafetz Chaim says, we're ketzor hara'us. We're short-sighted. I can't see beyond what my eyes see. We have Enei Basar. We are only seeing superficially. We can only see physically what's in front of us. We can't know. So therefore, when David and his men are told, you will persevere, you will overcome, everything's going to be fine, chase the people who led the captives away. And that's why it says, after crying and after experiencing those horrific emotions, which themselves are traumatic, we know that psychologically there's almost like post-trauma from having experienced such feelings. David HaMelech has to deal with all this. But remember, we started out saying today that he said Shira to Hashem every time that he was saved from something. So, Vayischazek David b'Hashem Elokav. And David was strengthened. Remember, we learned last time the conjugation doesn't say Vayischazek Atma, that he strengthened himself. He certainly strengthened himself. But it's more than that. He allowed Hashem into his life by thinking about how many times he had been saved. Vayischazek, he became strengthened. He was put back together, solidified. B'Hashem Elokav, by concentrating on Hashem, his God. We've said many times, I did it this past week. I got a big picture of a Yudkei Vavkei in front of me, and as I was learning, I looked back and forth from my Sefer to the Yudkei Vavkei, because as it's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah and in other postim in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, we look at the Yudkei Vavkei, and it says that's a big toel, it's a big benefit for Yiras Shamayim. And you might say, well, we're talking about Bitachon, not Yira. Yeah, but when we have fear of Hashem, it leads immediately to Bitachon. Yirei Hashem Bitchuva Hashem, as it says in Tehillim in the Hallel. And the Mephoshim point out, if we have Yiras Shamayim, that is the absolute doorway into Bitachon. So it says, Vayischazek David, Hashem Elokav. David allowed himself to be strengthened by Hashem, in the Yudkei Vavkei, Elokav, his God. How did David get that strength? Where did it come from? He had to look at the situation. What we're about to learn now is that in every crisis, in every difficulty, chas v'shalom, that we shouldn't have to experience, no matter what type it is, there's something in there that can strengthen us. There's some glimmer of hope. Many years ago in Ritz High School here in Cincinnati, we used to learn the Sefer Megillas Eicha. And there was a student assigned, she appointed herself, every day I said, we're not going to come out of here depressed when we learn Eicha, the Book of Lamentations written by Yirmiyahu HaNavi about the Korban. We're going to come out of here enthused. We're going to come out of here improved. We're going to come out of here optimistic somehow. How do you do that? Her assignment was find the glimmer of hope every single class, every set of psukim and Eicha. We have to extract it, take it out, and mushroom it. Make it something major. And that'll be our take home, because we're going to have hope and optimism. There's something you can look for. I'm telling you that there is. This is what we're going to learn from this episode in Sefer Shmuel. In fact, if you look in the Palgei Mayim, who was written by the Nesivos, he actually has an approach like that in one entire perek of Eicha. He says that Yirmiyahu HaNavi was actually expressing hope and positivity in those what seemed to be lamentations. So the Mirat Hashem, when we continue next time, we're going to take it from here. We answered the question that we left you on last time. What was the difference between, on one hand, the sons and daughters, and on the other hand, the wives in the minds of the men? We learned today that we really would benefit from thanking Hashem and from singing to Hashem for every experience, for every salvation, for every deliverance, where so many of them we have, every single day, every second. And when we have that attitude, we obviously promote ourselves to positivity and optimism. Hashem should send a refuah shleima to all those in need of it, and should keep healthy those who are healthy. And we daven rifla'enu, we should remain healthy. Ki ani Hashem rofe'echa, it says in Parshas Beshalach, I won't give you any machlos, illnesses, maladies, because I am your doctor who heals you before you become ill. Hashem should help us to be healthy spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And Amirat Hashem will continue learning next week about Bitachon one more time, and many more times, Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you so much for joining us.